All right, brethren, John chapter 9. Now, Christ gave this blind man physical sight. He'd been blind from his birth, and he gave him physical sight. And then towards the end of the chapter, he comes to him again, and he reveals himself to him spiritually. And this man believes on him, truly believes on him in spirit, sees him spiritually. Now, from the time the Lord gave him sight, physical sight, he began to experience some rejection from religious neighbors, leaders, even his own parents. And at last, they cast him out of the synagogue. But Christ found him. He found him. He spoke to this man. And listen to what our Lord asked him. Verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" This man had borne witness. He told a man named Jesus gave him some physical sight. He told of that he believed this man was a prophet. He'd even said he had to be a man come of God, or he couldn't have worked this miracle. But here's the question. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Now listen to this man. He owns his blindness. He owns himself to be blind. Listen to him. He says in verse 36, he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" You see there how he owned that he didn't know the Lord. "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" Verse 37, and Jesus said to him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. That's when Christ gave this man spiritual sight, by revelation. He spoke the word effectually, shined the light in his heart, and the man believed. And he fell down and worshiped him. Now, Christ declares the point of the whole account right here in verse 39. Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." There's two kinds of people in this chapter. There's a lot more than just two people, but there's only two kinds of people in this chapter. There's this man who was physically blind, who the Lord gave sight. The Lord gave him sight. Now, he was still blind spiritually as far as knowing Christ. He did not know who Christ was until Christ came to him in the end. But our Lord said here, "For judgment I have come into this world, that they which see not might see." That's what we see in that man. He confessed, he owned, he didn't know, "Who is he, Lord?" And the Lord made him see spiritually. And then there were the Pharisees and their disciples, the neighbors, and even this man's parents. And they had confidence in themselves that they could see. And the Lord left them. He left them in their blindness. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, the two different hearts between the man and in between those who rejected him. I want you to see the difference here. Now, God is sovereign. Christ here is the sovereign God in human flesh. And God, just like we saw Christ make that clay of the spittle and anoint the eyes of this blind man, and then he used the pool of Siloam. That was the means he used, a picture of the preaching of the gospel whereby he reveals himself in his people. But our Lord also used these folks who rejected this man. They were in his hand too. Their rejection of this man was all of God's purpose right here as well. And it was on purpose. It was to shut this man up to Christ. It was to bring him to where he really didn't have anybody but Christ. Now, let's look at the neighbors first. Verse 8. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, they said, "Is not this he that sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He's like him." But he said, "I'm he." Therefore said they unto him, "How were thine eyes open?" And he answered and said, "A man that's called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes, and said unto me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' And I went and washed, and I received sight." Then said they unto him, "Where is he?" And he said, "I know not." The man answered, simply stating what happened. He told him his experience. He told him what he'd experienced. He said there was a man named Jesus. A man called Jesus. He made clay, anointed my eyes. He said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. I went and washed. I received sight. But his neighbors sound a little skeptical here. Where is he? Where is he? But the man said, I know not. I don't know. You see the difference here? There's a little bit of a prove it to us kind of attitude in the neighbors. Prove this to us. Where is he? But the man is just on in his blindness. I don't know. I don't know. And then we look at the Pharisees, verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when the Lord Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Our Lord healed on the Sabbath day on purpose. He did this on purpose because it outed the Pharisees. And where their real confidence was in their obedience. And so he did that on purpose. And then again, the Pharisees also asked him, and they said how he had received sight, his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes, and I washed, and I do see. Again, he answers plainly. He couldn't go into any more detail than that. He said, I don't know how this happened. He put clay on my eyes. He did it. I went and washed, and I see, but he did it. But the Pharisees are asking him. They're not asking him here yet about who. They're not saying, who did this? We want to know him. They want to know, how did he do this? There's some sort of hocus pocus going on here. There's some sort of underhanded stuff happening. That's what we want to know, how he did this. Religion without Christ is mean and it's cruel and it's unmerciful. And these Pharisees show the hardness of heart in men who think they see. Men who think they see. Men who are confident in themselves, they're righteous. Here was the hardness of their heart. Verse 16. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God. They're speaking of Christ. They said, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that's a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. The Pharisees didn't rejoice. You think about this. This man had been blind from his birth. And they knew this man. This man was at the entrance to the temple every day, begging alms. They knew this man was blind. They knew it. But they didn't rejoice, even in that he had now physical sight. They didn't rejoice in that. And their focus was not Christ. Their focus was not Christ's works. It wasn't even the miracle that he did, even physically. Their minds were set on carnal things. Only thing they had their hearts set on was, this man broke the letter of the law. He broke the letter of the law. He didn't keep the Sabbath day. And they accused the lawgiver, Christ the lawgiver, of breaking the Sabbath day. They called the sinless God-man a sinner. That's what they did. You know, God gave the Sabbath day to give men rest after 6 days of working during the week. He gave the seventh day, Saturday, so men could rest and their animals could rest and everybody could rest. And so God provided everything they needed on that Friday so that they would have full provision all the way through the Sabbath so they didn't have to do anything. They could just rest. That was it. That was it. It was meant for them to just rest and be refreshed and renewed from all that work and rest from it. And what a beautiful picture of Christ that is. Our Lord God sent His Son. Christ said there at the beginning of the chapter, I must work the works of Him that sent me. And our Lord sent His Son. The Son of God came to work the works of God that His people couldn't work. Those works were coming to redeem us from the curse wherein we fell in Adam and put away all our sin, making us the righteousness of God, justified in Him, and then come and shine the light in our hearts to make us know this good news so that we could rest in Christ from all our works of trying to be accepted with God. And yet the Pharisees took this beautiful picture of Christ and turned it into a work. It was meant to be rest, and they turned it into a work for righteousness. For righteousness. I saw something, there's a thing going around, and you probably already know about this, but you know up in Manhattan, there's a line that's, I don't know, about as big as your finger, that goes around, all around the perimeter of Manhattan. And it's on the telephone poles, it's on the street lights, you know, it's on the, sometimes along the side of buildings, but it's a thin, it's a line, a fish, like a rope that goes around. You know what that is? The Jews have their tradition is you can't leave your living room on the Sabbath. But that is an extension of their living room so that they can go out of their house on the Sabbath and go to and fro, and are not breaking the law. I can jump over a barn if you let me build the barn. That's moving the goal line. The law is exceeding broad that men cannot keep it. That's the whole purpose. But that Sabbath was right there between the law to God and the law to men. And Christ, our Sabbath, came, and He loved God and His neighbor as Himself by laying down His life on the cross to put away the sin of His people, so that now, by His grace, we can just rest in Christ and do what we do because we love Him, because we want to serve Him. Not because we're afraid, because we want to. The Spirit He gives is not a spirit of bondage again to fear. It's a spirit whereby He makes you know you're a son. You were a servant. Now you're a son. He called you to be a son, and He makes you know you're a son. You're a child of God. So that you can, if you have any need or any trouble or anything that comes, you can cry, Abba, Father, 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 help me. You have access to His throne of grace. But these men accused Christ of being a sinner. He gave that law, and they accused Him of being a sinner because He healed a man on that day. Showed mercy. Verse 17, they say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he's a prophet. Now, it's important to understand, this man doesn't know Christ yet. He doesn't know Christ spiritually yet. He hasn't believed on Him. But he did hear Christ say, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it's day. He heard Christ say, I'm the light of the world. And Christ anointed his eyes, and he went and washed and came away seeing. And so the man's saying, he must be a prophet. I'm saying he's a prophet because he told me that the works of God that were going to be done. That's the reason I was born blind. And now I see he's got to be a prophet. Well, then his parents rejected him. Verse 18, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight till they called the parents of him that had received his sight. This is amazing when you think about it. The Jews seek after a sign. What greater sign could the Lord have given than that He gave a man who had been blind from his birth physical sight? Did that make them bow down and believe Him? No. No. They didn't believe it. They would rather say, you're lying. That whole time we saw you sitting at the temple, you were faking being blind. You weren't really blind. Or something else, you know, but they wouldn't believe Christ did it. Now look, verse 19, and they asked them, called his parents, and they asked the parents. They said, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He's of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. And these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he's of age, ask him. Now that's the effect right there of legalism. That's the effect of it that it has on sinners. It produces and instills and promotes the fear of man rather than the fear of God. The spirit of grace is a spirit of grace. It's not a spirit of fear. It's a spirit of grace. But this is that spirit of the Pharisee. They had their thumb on these folks, and if they confess Christ, they're kicking them out. They're kicking them out of the synagogue. And that was a big deal. Verse 24. Then again called they the man that was blind. They said to him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Now listen to this man. Now, I just want to point out the difference in the spirit of these men who said they could see and this man who, he's been given sight, physical sight, but this man's realizing he can't see spiritually is what's happening. He understands now that I don't know. He said, he answered, whether he be a sinner or no, I don't know. I don't know. I know not. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. I was physically blind, and now I physically see. Verse 26, then they said to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? And he answered them, I've told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? This man's taken his place as a disciple of Christ. At least he wants to be. He said, will you also be his disciple? And then they reviled him and they said, thou art his disciple. We are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. See how they're saying they've got sight. We know. We know God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. But you know, their contempt for Christ right here shows their blindness. They don't know Moses. They don't know. They're not disciples of Moses. It's easy to be a disciple of a dead prophet. That's easy. They don't believe if Moses would have been alive in their day, they'd have rejected Moses, just like they're rejecting Christ. Christ said that. Listen, John 5:45. He said, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There's one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. For he wrote of me, Christ said. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Now the Lord used all this. He's showing this man, he's working for this man. He's showing this man something. And what he showed this man here is his distinguishing grace, how particular his grace is. Verse 30. The man answered and he said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. God uses those that he passes by to amaze you who he has called. Doesn't he do that? He uses those that he called, that he passes by to just make you that he has called to marvel. Because you see men who are more wise. You see men who are more prudent. You see men who know the scriptures more. You see men who are mighty men and noble men that he's passed by. And yet he's shown himself, revealed himself to us sinners, poor, desperate sinners that he's made us to see we are. That makes you marvel. That he would show mercy to sinners like we are. And that's what this man says. Now listen to the man. Verse 31. He says, Now we know that God heareth not sinners. This was a pet doctrine of the Pharisees right here. And so he meets them right where they are. And he says, we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. That he's using that because this is what the Pharisees used. This is what they use. This is what they love to use right here. And he said, now, if that be so, he said, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? Here's the conclusion. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. He's saying, this man can't be a sinner. He can't be. If he were not of God, he could not have done this miracle. Nobody's ever done a miracle like this since the world began, to give a man sight. He's got to be of God, the man said. Those that boasted they could see, those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, verse 34, they answered and said unto him. Now get this. This man, he don't know much. He knows a man named Jesus did this. He said, I believe he's a prophet. He said, I was blind, now I see. I know that. And he said, I know this. He couldn't be a sinner and do this. He has to be of God. This man is sitting here bearing witness of Christ, and this would be for their good, what he's saying to them, if they would just listen to it. Even though right now he hasn't been given spiritual eyes to cast it all on Christ, he is telling what he knows. And if they would have listened, this was he wasn't professing I see. He wasn't saying I know it all. He's just telling them what he knew. But here was their response. They answered and said unto him, verse 34, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. C.H. McIntosh said, this was the brightest moment in this man's career. These men, though they knew it not, had done him a real service. They had thrust him out into the most honored position of identification with Christ as the despised and rejected one. Verse 35, now Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he found him, our Lord never sleeps, he never slumbers, he is all-knowing and all-seeing. He knew exactly what was transpiring here, he knew what was taking place. And he was just waiting for this right here. This was the whole purpose of it. And he went and he found him. And he said to him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Now that's the question. Do you believe on the Son of God? Do you believe on the Son of God? That's what he's asking him. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? The man answered, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And then the Lord revealed himself to him. That man owned his blindness. He didn't know the Lord Jesus. But Christ came and Christ spoke and revealed himself to this man. Now, this is something very important. This man had had a great experience. This man had had a great experience. More than near you, any of us have had. This man had been blind all his life and God gave him sight. The Lord came and gave him sight. He had experienced rejection from the established religion of the day. He had been given opportunity to stand up and bear witness of what he did know and give his testimony. He had done all of this and then he was rejected of all these men. Now, Christ told us we should expect to be rejected. He said, I didn't come to send peace but a sword. Men are going to be rejected. Believers are going to be rejected. And if they accused Christ, who only did that which pleased the Father and knew no sin. If they accused him of sin, I can guarantee you, he said, if they called me Beelzebub, they're going to call you Beelzebub. If they called him a sinner, they're going to call you a sinner. It's not going to be men who reject the gospel and refuse Christ and reject his people. It's not going to be their fault. They're going to blame God's people. They're going to blame. If they did it to Christ, he said, they're going to do it to you. But here's the point I'm making. Salvation is not in any of that. Salvation is not putting confidence in any experience, no matter how grand it might be. We have to be brought to own our own blindness. We have to be brought to own our blindness. We could be cast out of free will works religion. They don't mean anything. Or whatever. All these things this man experienced. We've got to be brought to own our own blindness, to own our need for Christ to be the light, for Christ to work the works, for Christ to be the one who leads us and teaches us and be our salvation. We've got to be brought there. He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" He didn't know, but he was honest and he was brought to this place. He shut up to Christ and says, "Lord, I don't know who he is." And Christ revealed himself in his heart by his word. He said, verse 37, "And Jesus said unto him," there's the word speaking the word, "Jesus said unto him," this is the greatest gospel preacher that ever was right here, preaching himself. "And he said to him, thou hast both seen him, and it's he that talketh with thee." Over in Romans 10:13, he said, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? But before that, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And before that, how shall they hear without a preacher? And before that, how shall they preach except they be sent?" Here you have that fulfilled in the most vivid way you could ever see. Here's Christ, the sent one of God, the preacher, the prophet, priest, and king of his people. And he comes forth and he preaches himself. He declares, I am the Son of God. That's what he declares to this man. And the result of that was, verse 38, he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. That's always what's going to happen. That's when the light shines. That's when grace enters the heart. That's when we bow and say, "He's everything." Dost thou believe on the Son of God? What does that mean? What is it to believe on the Son of God? When we believe on the Son of God, we believe that he is God as a man in human flesh, the mediator, by whom we are saved, by his works alone, entirely of him, his person. He is the Savior, the salvation. That's what he has started out saying. I must work the works of God. This man was born blind to show for me to work the works of God, that they might be manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me, he said. He said, "I am the light." The works of God in saving a sinner are the works only God can do. Nobody else can do them. Only God can do the works in bringing us from a conceived sinner in our mother's womb to God, holy, perfect, without fault, without blemish. Only God can work that work. And since only God can work that work, since he must work that work, he sent his only begotten Son to work the work. And Christ came into this earth, the God-man mediator, to work the works. And he has made his people the righteousness of God in him. He did that on the cross. It is finished. It is finished. He put away the sin of his people because he bore it away. He bore it away. He bore it to a land not inhabited. He went into the grave. He justified his people. His people have died under the curse and condemnation of the law, and we are risen with Christ, righteous and complete in him. And then he must work this work. He must send this gospel to us, and he must speak the word as the gospel is going forth and shine the light into our hearts by his Holy Spirit, just like he did to this man right here. "I am the light of the world," he said. That's to believe the Son of God. Believe he's the Son of God is to simply say, "He is all my salvation." Just what we just read, he is holy, 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 and there is no other. There is no other that's holy but him. And if we're holy, it's because we're holy in him. He's entered in and he's shined the light just like this man. Do you see what separateness is, how he separated this man out? He didn't reveal to this man who he is when that man was still in the synagogue and in them. He had them cast him out. He brought him out. And he separated him. And then he revealed himself to him. And he believed him. He believed he is the Son of God. And those that are given sight to believe he's the Son of God, we never stop owning our own blindness and ourselves and our total need of Christ to be our light. We don't ever get to this. If we stop that, if we stop owning our blindness and you know, we see through a glass darkly. We do see. We have the light of life. We see. But there's a lot of darkness, and there's a lot of darkness. And if we ever get to the point where we say we see, apart from him being our light, we'll be right where they were, where these men in the temple were. Paul prayed for the Ephesian believers. This is what he prayed for the Ephesian believers. That God would give the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Being enlightened. That you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What's the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Well, didn't they already believe? Yeah. But he's saying, I want you to know, I want that light to shine more. And I'm praying to the light that he will shine that light more. And enlighten your eyes. The psalmist prayed in Psalm 119:18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy word, Lord. Open thou mine eyes. Paul said, I count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And then in verse 10 he said, that I might know him. Didn't he already know it? But we never stop praying, Lord, give me sight. Give me sight. Shine your light. And it is. The light shines more and more into the perfect day. He said in Isaiah 50, who's among you that feareth the Lord? Who's among you that feareth the Lord? You believe him. That obeyeth the voice of his servant. You obey the voice of Christ that walketh in darkness and hath no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. What are we trusting him for? He said, I'm the light of the world. He said, I'm going to give you light. He said, I'm going to shine the light of my countenance and I'm going to lead you in the way. And so when the day's dark, you count on him. You look to him. You trust him. You pray to him, Lord, give me some light. How often do we come into... we don't know what God's doing in Providence. We just don't. It's just flat out that simple. And to say, oh, I see. I know what he's doing. Oh, Lord, I don't know. Give me light. Give me light. That's where believers are. We're walking in his light. You think about when I was younger, and you'd have a porch. We'd be out on the porch and the porch light be on. And if I was out there by myself, I would not dare. All I could see was darkness out there. I would not dare come off that porch and just, you know, get out in that little edge of the darkness out there in the yard where you could play in the yard because it's too close to the darkness. But if my father was out there, if he was out there, I could play as easy and without fear, not afraid of the darkness. I had him right there with me. That's what, you know, when Abraham looked to himself and he went into Hagar and he married Hagar and he produced Ishmael, the Lord appeared to him about 13 years after that. And the Lord appeared to him and said, Abraham, I'm El Shaddai. I'm God Almighty. I'm God All-Powerful. Walk before me. That was the confidence. There was the sanctifying word. You're walking before me. I'm the light. I'm right here. I got you protected. And be thou perfect. That was a promise to him. The only reason he didn't destroy him for turning back to his flesh and his works with Hagar was because he was perfect in Christ. He was perfect in Christ. And he's teaching him now, walk before me and be thou perfect. What's the strength for him to walk before God with a sincere heart, looking to the Lord alone and believing that God was going to provide that promised seed and redeem all his people? What was Abraham's strength to do that? The Lord appeared to him and said, I'm El Shaddai. Walk before me. He renewed his covenant promise to him. Over and over and over you see him renewing his covenant promise to Abraham. I've made my covenant. I will, Abraham, you shall. I will, you shall. I will, you shall. He kept renewing that. That's the light. It's all in Christ the light, Christ the seed, reminding us over and over and over, renewing his covenant in our heart. I'm the light. That's what keeps us walking in his light. And begging him for more light. And the more that light shines, there's this notion that you light, the light shines, and you just start walking around like a Q-beam, you know, and shining so brightly, and everybody's just looking at you. I know this about that light. The more that light shines, the more you find out that your only salvation is Christ, the light. And the more you see, it ain't me. It ain't us. That's what the light shows you. The more the light shines, the more we see. That light, doesn't it shine more and more into the perfect day? And didn't he start out speaking of himself being the least of all the saints, and then by the end saying, I'm the chief of sinners? That's where the light, when the light shines, you see yourself more and more and more as being the darkness. And you see Christ more and more and more as being the salvation, the righteousness, the holiness. Now, verse 39, I'm going to quickly end. And Jesus said, for judgment I've come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? You could just almost hear the way they said that. It's okay to talk about self-righteous folks if they're out there somewhere, or blind folks if they're out there somewhere. But don't you say we're blind. Don't you say are we blind also? And Jesus said to them, if you could say, yes, we are. If you could say that, if you could say, yep, that's me. I'm the sinner. That's all. Christ is all my righteousness. If you were blind, you should have no sin. Sin is a transgression of the law, and Christ came to put away the sin of his people, and in him is no sin. If you're in Christ, if you believe him, listen to what Christ said. If you were blind, if you said with this man that he saved here, he said, Lord, who is he that I may know? I'm blind. Lord said, I'm he. And he believed on him. Lord said, that man has no sin. He has no sin. Is that good news to you? No sin. But he said, now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remaineth. Oh, Lord, don't ever let us get to the point of saying, we see. Keep us saying, Lord, I need to know you. I need to be found in you. I want to know more of you. Apart from you, I'm blind. I need him. I need Christ. I need him to be all. Keep us there. If you're there, you have no sin. You have no sin. That's good news. Amen. Let's go to the Lord, brethren. Father, thank you for this word. We thank you that our Redeemer declared the truth of the gospel and made us see what it is to be totally dependent on him, take our place as sinners in need of Christ our light, in need of him to work the works of God for us, to be our all, our representative, our intercessor, our perfection before you. Lord, hear us in him. We need to be found in him. And please don't let us look to ourselves. Don't let us ever be exalted to think that we can see. Keep us blind, Lord, that we might truly see, spiritually see. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Your free forgiveness in Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.